This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by some wonderful Bi-plus folks working in bisexual targeted health programs. We'll hear why specialist Bi-plus services exist and how we can work towards Bi-plus affirmative practice in queer and mainstream health services. We'll also hear about a potential donor sperm shortage and some surprising news about Bi-plus folks flying high. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm glad you're home, Ruby. Welcome home, darling.
Thank you so much. I got off my plane yesterday morning and I'm very happy to be back.
And we're here this evening to bring you your weekly fix of Bi-plus community goodness. Thanks to Bad Gays for another great show. Tonight we'll be joined by Anthony, Alex and Jacinta from Thorn Harbour Health, an LGBTIQ plus community health organisation. Our guests will be chatting with us this evening about Bi-plus targeted therapeutic groups and peer support groups that exist for our multi-gender attracted community. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask us about this or an experience with a health service that you'd like to share? If you do, we would love to hear from you and you can get in touch anytime tonight. You can email onair@joy.org.au or text us on 0427-JOY949. That's 0427-569-949.
You can also find us on social media.
Everywhere. All of the places. Our Facebook is Triple Bypass on Joy. Our Twitter is Triple Bypass. Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy. Or email us also anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au. Now, this evening, we're going to take you through our Bi-plus community news.
Yay.
Now, because it's me, I'm always going to attend first to the sperm donor, egg donor, surrogacy stuff.
Fertility is kind of your thing.
It's my favourite. But did you know, that in France there is currently a debate on the bioethics bill, which could mean that there is a shortage of sperm in France. So currently...
Available sperm.
Available sperm. Available donut sperm. Not sperm in general, but just available donor sperm. So currently, lesbian and bisexual women or people with uteruses are not able to access donor sperm, which is really shitful in my mind. But that's currently undergoing debate, which would allow single women and also women in same-sex couples to access IVF treatment. Clinicians have said, though, that this could lead to a sperm shortage. In my mind, not reason enough not to do it, you know?
Also, I think that's maybe trying to cause a bit of a panic when there's plenty of sperm in France.
No. We're not going to be able to have any more sperm.
There will be not enough of these little swimmers.
Sacré bleu.
As if bi and lesbian women aren't already having kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to good friends and turkey basters.
This is right. This is right. We have workarounds, but the current French law only allows state-funded, medically-assisted procreation to heterosexual couples who are married or who have been living together for at least 2 years. So according to Reuters, clinicians in France's networks of sperm banks have said that supply only just meets the current demand and allowing lesbian and bisexual women access to this scheme could cause a shortage of sperm in the country. Panic! Nathalie Rives, who's president of the Sperm Bank Network, told Reuters to say, "Everything is going to be okay," would be burying our head in the sand. It's just so, like, they're trying to create controversy where there isn't.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I don't know, a literally slippery slope.
Sorry. So they're basically saying that it would create a mass panic and IVF services in France, and that
are there that many French lesbian bisexual women? Because firstly, awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's where my parents live. I might just have to go back to my homeland.
I demand the sperm here.
So basically, the ethos is that every woman who wants to have a baby should have the right to medical assistance in the best possible conditions and should have access to the technology that's currently available. And so this is what the current debate is around in France. I was shook that this is even something that's being debated, but yeah.
Well, apparently the gynecologist and obstetrician Professor René Friedman, nicknamed Monsieur PMA, he created France's first, in quotes, test tube baby, and he said that he's really frustrated.
Yeah, totally.
So it's interesting because it's like, I invented this.
Yeah.
It was for everybody. What are you thinking, France? What are you thinking? I thought you were supposed to have one of the most intense separations of church and state in the Europe.
That's right. It's France. It's progressive. And Macron, who's the president of
Macron.
Yeah, access and reform around reproductive technologies was one of their campaign pledges. So it's in line with the current political climate as well. So anyway, watch this space. We'll see what happens there.
We'll keep you updated on all of the French sperm, available or not.
I hope so.
Now for the second item, bisexual women are 7 times as likely to get high per day than straight women, according to a new study by Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. Really quickly, we do not endorse at all anyone getting high, which is illegal in Australia. It's thought to be the first study on the relationship between medical marijuana laws, marijuana use, and marijuana use disorder for gay and bisexual people, which is also looking at gender differences. So of the 126,463 adults surveyed, 40% of bisexual women had used cannabis in the past year, compared to 26% of gay women and 10% of heterosexual women. Daily use was lower among heterosexual women, which is 1.5% were using it daily, and 6% of lesbians were using it daily, but 10% of bisexual women were smoking marijuana daily, making them 7 times more likely to be getting high each day. Researchers speculated that the difference may be a result of the high levels of stigma bisexual women face, which could lead to self-medication with medical marijuana as a coping mechanism for being a sexual minority. One of the study's authors, Dr. Morgan Philbin, said in a press release that our results support existing literature that by demonstrating that bisexual women have higher marijuana use disorder compared to heterosexual women. Now, marijuana use disorder is dependency, I assume. This is part of a larger health burden, as bisexual women are twice as likely to have a co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders, yet often have little contact with service providers.
Shocking.
How relevant for today's story. It's almost as if you've found it for that exact reason, Amelia. You genius.
Sometimes I'm clever.
The study also found similar results for men, with around 33% of gay and bisexual men admitting to using cannabis in the past year, compared to 17% of straight men. And for bisexual men, daily marijuana use was more than twice as high as it was for straight men. So twice as high is not quite 7 times as high.
Not quite.
But it's still up there, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, researchers are now urging policymakers to consider LGBTI plus people when regulating cannabis in light of the different usages of the drug. So this study represents an important contribution to the literature on structural determinants for substance use of LGB individuals and demonstrates the need to allocate resources that target sexual minority women, especially as medical marijuana laws and recreational marijuana laws continue to change at the state level, said Dr. Sylvia Martins, who is the study's senior author. Further surveys that capture how individuals identify will help us pinpoint how state-level marijuana policies may differentially impact specific subpopulations, ultimately advancing the development of more health-promoting policies for all. I think it's interesting because, of course, there are other factors in there as well when you look at that. This looks at binary gender, doesn't look at race, which, of course, is a huge contributing factor in the United States when it comes to people who are policed over drug usage. And the fact that it is federally a crime and not state crime for medical marijuana. But I think we found similar results in Australia's research as well, where it looks that bisexual plus people were much more likely to be taking substances and using substances and smoking and drinking as forms of self-medication, and were much less likely to reach out to healthcare providers, also to be much more likely to be unhappy with the service they get, which I think, again, when you kind of look at how a lot of services are targeted, will make sense. And it will also make sense why we have some pretty wonderful people coming up to help us address this issue, because it is a bit of an issue. You know, bi women and lesbian women are more likely to serve jail time, both in Australia and in the United States. Non-binary people still don't have a jail to go to, so we just have a get-out-of-jail-free card because they don't know where to put us.
Lucky.
Oh, so lucky.
But I think it's it talks to the fact that bi plus people are less likely to engage in services because some of the... And I'm not saying that people's sexual identity is one of the reasons that they may engage in substance use. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But if that is something that they do want to have help with and that is a contributing factor for them on why they are using substances, not having that identity understood or affirmed when you're accessing service is...
Makes it pretty hard to start working on it. And I think...
Big barrier.
Yeah, and like when we're looking at marijuana use disorder as a, you know, where it's actually a problem, I think that's a really important thing to be considering. But that's been your weekly dose of Bi Plus Community News. So now here's the Bisexual Anthem by Dumma Wilson. This song has a bit of a language warning. It's honestly quite cis normative, but it's a bi banger. So I hope you enjoy. You're listening to Triple Bi Pass on Joy 94.9.
Bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I don't, they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. How the fuck you date a guy when you're bi? You're a fake ass dyke, I don't like you, I won't lie. You cannot date both, pick a side, pick a side. Do you like fucking girls or do you like fucking guys? I like both, bi pride, stand up. I like a girly little thing, get my dude manned up. Walk into the strip club and then I throw my bands up. And when he get me sloppy toppy, like to throw my hands up. If I wanna date a girl and we don't work out, then it's cool. Sexuality is fluid, it's okay to date a dude. If I date a fucking guy and we break up, it's okay to date a pretty girl, ain't no fake love. I like girls, I like guys. I like to eat the pussy, then again I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls and then I put the dick inside. I'm a sexual bitch and I ain't got nothing to hide. Yeah, these bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I don't, they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. I met a cute little shorty way back in 08. I was really in denial, I was like, no way. I met a dude up in high school, I was so confused. How the fuck do I like girls? Then I started liking dudes. Then I realized, ain't no rules to this shit. Ain't a crime to like pussy, ain't a crime to like dick. Ain't a crime to be whoever, whenever, man, I'm sick. I'm a bi girl, bitch, little fly girl, bitch. B-I to the S-E-X-U-A. It's a L if you hating on me, bitch, I slay. No, I am not gay, and no, I am not straight. I'm the B in this bitch, pop pride all day. I like girls, I like guys. I like to eat the pussy, then again, I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls, and then I put the dick inside. I'm a sexual bitch, and I ain't got nothing to hide. Yeah, these bitches hating on me, cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish, and y'all say we like to cheat. But I don't, they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too, though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. Yeah, I'm bi, and I like them both, I got pride. Yeah, I'm bi, I'm bi, I'm the B in this, you know why.
Hi, I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That was Bisexual Anthem by Domo Wilson, and you are tuned in to Triple Bypass, your weekly Bisexual Plus radio takeover. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we're joined by some of the fine staff from Thorn Harbour Health this evening to chat about Bi Plus targeted health services. To kick us off, we are joined by Anthony, who may be known to a lot of you, host of our very own Bi Poly podcast, a counsellor and professional bisexual working in the counselling and capacity building teams at Thorn Harbour Health. Welcome, Anthony.
Oh, thank you. Hi. It's good to see you both.
It's so nice to hear your voice back on the airwaves.
Thank you.
Also, one of the founders of Melbourne Bisexual Network.
Thank you. Likewise, Ruby Mountford.
I tip my hat to you on the radio.
We are also joined by Alex. Alex is a Master of Social Work and is a counsellor in the counselling team at Thorn Harbour Health. She will be co-facilitating a Bi-Plus therapeutic group with Anthony. We'll hear more about in a second. Welcome, Alex.
Wonderful to be on board. And just quick question, how do I get to be a professional bisexual as well?
Yes.
Can I just nominate?
It's a brief ritual. But don't worry, the next full moon is coming up soon.
Yes. Phew. Yes. Okay, good. Looking forward to it.
Might just tack myself onto that one. And finally, we are also joined by Jacinta. Jacinta is a health educator for the LBQ Women's Portfolio in the health promotion team at Thorn Harbour Health. Jacinta is also an honours student at Melbourne Uni in the Gender Studies Department. Welcome, Jacinta.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. We have so many talented babes in here with us this evening. So what we're planning to do this evening is chat through some of the groups that we have coming up that you folks are representing. If you have any questions for our guests, you can email us on air at joy.org.au or text 0427 joy9. That's 0427569949. So to kick us off, we thought we'd chat to Anthony and Alex first, as your group is starting quite soon. So do you perhaps want to walk us through what your group is called, where the idea came from, you know, what the scope of it is?
Who, where, what, where,
yes,
why,
yes,
how?
Yes.
Tell us that.
Please, I've been dying to answer those questions. Absolutely. This is 12 years in the running, this program, and this is a direct response to some of Julia Taylor's study, the Who I Am study from La Trobe Uni, who found that bisexual people suffer poorer mental health and also poorer on a whole range of other health and well-being factors.
Mm. Found some of the reasons too, which was really nice.
Right, absolutely. And I think it wasn't just hearing Julia Taylor on this program. And if you want to hear that interview, go to joy.org.au/triple bypass.
I think it was like March or May 2017.
Right.
You can take the boy out of the studio.
No, but that studio, and screaming. That changed something for not just Ruby and myself, but I think for bi-activism, I think here in Melbourne, because we realised, shit, there is nothing for specifically for bi people. Because I, you know, in 2005, I went to a support group that was for queer people, or it was described as for gay men, and I disclosed that I was, as we were introducing ourselves, I said I was bisexual, my name's Anthony, and this guy came up to me at the break and said something incredibly biphobic to me, and I didn't realise that was going to be one of the first of very many similar responses in queer spaces. I was mortified. And I think after Julia's interview on this station, we realised that there was nothing specifically for bi people, and I'm just very fortunate to work at Thorn Harbour Health and part of the counselling team, where I was able to speak to some colleagues, consult with the Melbourne Bisexual Network, and develop and write a gorgeous, absolutely beautiful 6-week therapeutic program that invites bi plus people to come into a space and to have their experiences of biphobia dealt with such care and respect, and affirm those particular negative experiences, but also to provide ways to do something different with that experience. And it's just, I'm really proud of this program, and I'm so proud to be presenting it with Alex.
I'm just going to jump in. If anything we're talking about is distressing for you tonight, please don't hesitate. You can always call Lifeline Australia on 13 11 14 or Switchboard Victoria between 3 p.m. and midnight on 1800 184 527.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Ruby. What is the name of this amazing therapeutic group that's coming up?
It's called Bi Plus and Mighty. I think as bisexuals, we love a good pun.
We do.
Pun-sexuals even.
So, it is our culture.
Bad puns and finger guns and cuffed jeans.
Yeah.
And bobs, which you are rocking one tonight.
Yeah, nice.
Actually, both. All of you are. Oh, my gosh.
I think there's something really fun about the name as well, because it can be quite confronting to talk about biphobia and bi-erasure. I think having a name like this lets people know that we're going to be having some good times as well. So it's a therapeutic group. It will be running from, I think, the 11th of November, which is on a Monday, for 6 weeks. But, you know, we're good people. I think we'll have a good time.
Yes.
So how many days a week is the program? Like, so for 6 weeks, is it one day a week? Is it an intensive boot camp kind of a course? What do you mean by therapeutic? So when it's therapeutic group, so how will that play out, do you think?
So it'll be Monday night, 6 to 8 p.m. for 6 weeks. And it's a good question because Biolines Victoria have done amazing work in the community space to provide monthly support groups or discussion groups where that's, I guess, a traditional support group where people will come along, will share what's pressing for them, and there will be some common themes, and the conversation will go where the energy goes in the discussion, and there might be some ongoing support around those particular discussions with those groups. This is a closed, structured, 6 week therapeutic program. It doesn't mean that we follow some punitive, rigid structure, but we do have a structure. Mm. We are sort of trained practitioners to set up particular processes in the room to evoke specific experiences that are directly related to our experiences of biphobia, and the ways that we choose to manage that or feel compelled to manage that experience in different spaces. And what we're there to do is we've got some really quick ways to evoke some of those experiences in the room. We do it carefully, like we're not pushing people to share some of the most harmful experiences that they've had in terms of their bisexuality. So we do have ways to look after that process. Doing it in a group setting as well helps for people to feel as though they're not alone in that process. It is a very purposeful program, so there is a particular focus from week to week. So we don't necessarily go where the energy goes. We can within the context of that particular week, but there are some themes, some core themes that we do have connected to the specific therapeutic approach that we're going to use.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a spoiler to ask about the themes? Are these secrets? So what are some themes that you think you can expect to touch on?
Yeah, so the themes, we have a few there on the postcard.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about quite a few things: coming out, identity, bi-erasure, self-esteem, relationships, sex, community, future planning. It's not a spoiler, but those are sorts of things that people can expect if they do come along.
So it sounds from what you're saying, Anthony and Alex, that there's some structure but also flexibility in the program. So you were talking about people talking about their experiences of biphobia, for example, but and how to navigate those. But I'm presuming there's also potential to work through people's anticipated biphobia. So, for example, if they're in a relationship and they're anticipating that they may have some biphobic responses from family members or from friends, does the group facilitate those kinds of experiences as well? Or is it just things that have been experienced in the past that people want to work through?
Yeah, both.
Both.
So we're
such a typical answer.
It's such a bi answer, isn't it? So I guess we are without saying too much about what the process involves, we are going to ask people to bring in a particular experience that has left a print on them in terms of how they then have gone on to talk about their sexuality or not in certain spaces. So we're going to sort of go. We'll start off in that space and we'll do that carefully. But also the thing is, you know, people have come into the group sort of requesting to talk about internalized biphobia. This is some of the language that we're hearing, and I think that's okay. Mm. It's a pathologizing term, and we're here to sort of depathologize some of our experiences, because internalized biphobia is a very normal and healthy response to a hostile environment. And I think that what we want to do in this program is to remind people of that. And we know this, right? But to do this in a structured group process can be quite powerful.
And you say that we know it, but sometimes we don't know it until we hear other people say it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there's something really, sorry about that, something really important about being in a space with other bi people.
Totally.
I know that one of the questions Anthony suggested that we ask when we're meeting with people in preparation for the group is, hey, have you ever actually been in a space with entirely just other bi people? Mm. What do you think that would be like if that's never been the case for you?
Yeah.
People are busting to be there.
Yeah.
And I think, so you've been talking about bi, but the group is for bi plus, so people who identify maybe as pansexual, polysexual, maybe even have identified as straight or gay and are still trying to figure stuff out? Is this a space that's open for them as well?
It is, and I think that, they might describe themselves as queer. They might... Some of the... a couple of people that I've met with this week have talked about being... using different language in different spaces, and that's how they manage their identity or sort of the visibility of their sexuality. So absolutely. I mean, we use the word, we use the word bi plus as an umbrella term, as you know. So, yeah, definitely.
And this is also a group that's, of course, open to people of all genders and all, walks of life.
And ages, I'm assuming?
Yes. This group has filled up very quickly. We're almost at capacity.
Really?
We've only formally advertised it for probably the last 4 weeks. The Big Buy Bonanza was a really great space for us to come and promote the event. We do have some spaces left, though.
Yeah, I was just actually wanting to talk a little bit about that, because I imagine there might be people listening in who are like, actually, this sounds like it might be really useful for me. I'd like to know a little bit more about how I can get involved. So we've got a couple of options. So the first thing is to get in touch with us. The two ways you can do that: number one, you can give us a call at Thorn Harbour Health Reception on 9865 6700, and you can ask to speak with either Anthony or Alex about the Bi and Mighty program, and we're happy to have a chat with you. You're also welcome to send us an email at counselling@thornharbour.org. Giving us a phone call can actually be a little bit hard for some people. Very happy to chat initially via email if that's easier for you.
And so just to confirm, Thorn Harbour, that's Thornehabour. Correct?
Yeah, that's excellent. Right. You got it.
And if you're listening in here and you realise that for geographical reasons, that maybe this isn't something you're going to be able to access, you can find Bi groups internationally at the Bi Resource Centre, which is at biresource.org/find-a-bi-group/.
All the slashes.
Now, we'll be right back with our guests in a moment following our... But first, we'll be listening to Bec Sandridge's new single, Stranger. It's coming up from her new album, which is dropping in 3 days. And her first tour, which is opening. And you'll be able to find out all about that and more with my exclusive interview with her, which is available on a podcast, along with every episode of Triple Bypass available, including Anthony's Bi Polycast, available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever all good podcasts are found. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Do I've got 1,000 things to do? I need
was Stranger by Beck Sandridge, and you're back on Triple Bypass, the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. We include a P for pansexual, a Q for queer and questioning, and an E for everybody else. We're not gatekeeping queers on this show. Nope. We're not about that life. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we're joined in the studio this evening by Anthony, Alex and Jacinta. We've been talking about a therapeutic group, By and Mighty, that's being held at Thorn Harbour Health in a few weeks. And you, if you have any questions for Jacinta, our next guest, please email us at onair@joy.org.au or text 0427569949.
And we'll post up all the contact information about By and Mighty when we post up our podcast, which will be the end of the week. Thanks, Lou. You're the best.
Oh, my gosh. Lou's the absolute best.
Lou's our podcaster. We love them.
So we are now going to chat to Jacinta, who we introduced a little bit earlier but haven't heard from specifically yet. So Jacinta works in health promotion at Thorn Harbour Health in the LBQ Women's Portfolio. And they're going to be chatting with us about the upcoming LBQ or LGBTIQ plus group that's called Scope.
Yes.
Yeah. Scope. Amazing. Where did the idea to run Scope come from? Like, what is it?
Yeah. So Scope is our peer education workshops for LGBTIQ women.
Cool.
And that's inclusive of trans and gender diverse and non-binary folks as well who want to be in that space. And I guess that Scope came into existence because Thorn Harbour Health have had peer education groups for a really long time for gay and bisexual men, and that's been around focusing on knowledge sharing and HIV education. And obviously the model of peer education is really useful because it is about being able to meet new people who are like yourself or, you know, bring in these other differences that you can learn from. And it's about having a space to learn from each other and have facilitated discussions that is led by peers. So, you know, other people who are trained as facilitators, but again, other members of the communities that you're from. And so we wanted to be able to expand that to include a workshop for LGBTIQ women because, you know, there is a really big need for that in our communities.
Yeah, amazing.
When you say need, so yeah, what led to thinking that this was an area that needed some work, that people needed more support in? So women and non-binary folk,
yeah.
What's brought up about this idea of creating a group for supporting relationships?
Yeah, so I mean, we need more spaces. That's basically where the idea came from. But I mean, we know that LGBTIQ women have a lot of barriers to their health and well-being, and so being able to have a space to come together and to you know, share with each other and learn from each other and be able to have that space for some facilitated learning where you can actually connect directly with people and also go off and, you know, explore those connections further is really important because we don't really have many other places to access that information in such an obvious and direct way.
Totally. And we heard from Anthony and Alex that their group, By and Mighty, is a therapeutic group, and that's developed out of the counselling group at Thorn Harbour Health, counselling team rather, at Thorn Harbour Health. I'm wondering the difference between a peer support group and a therapeutic group.
Yeah, so there is a big difference. So Scope and our other peer education groups are created not for the purpose of counselling or being a therapeutic group. It's more about having a really like fun and engaging space to come together and actually socialize while you're learning from each other. And, you know, while some sensitive topics may come up as they do in our communities, it's supported by the peer facilitators who are not trained counselors. But instead we have other support mechanisms in place. So other places that they can go on to outside of the group. But while they're in the workshop, it is about, you know, having discussions and engaging with people in a way that isn't deliberately exploring things like biphobia, which can be quite difficult and tricky to facilitate as, you know, peers.
Yeah, and probably need a trained counsellor.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay, amazing.
But with that being said, I think a lot of bi plus women and non-binary folk do tend to come out later in life, mm-hmm. and so often struggle to find access or to feel comfortable in these kinds of spaces. And so is there anything that you've done to make sure people feel like they can access it or can hear about it if they're not maybe going through mainstream LGBTI networks?
Yeah, so we've really been using our... I guess our networks that are close to us. So Scope was developed with a lot of bi plus people. So yeah, including yourself, Ruby.
And Amelia.
And Amelia. Yeah. So we
get around.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So we like bisexuals.
We do. Yes. So I guess that as Scope has developed, we've been relying on those close networks and by word of mouth rather than doing big advertising, because we know that's not going to be reaching the people that we want to reach. We've been using our smaller networks first, and I guess making sure that, you know, it's a space that is building. It's not something that is going to be a huge step for people. I mean, it is a huge step for people, but it's you know, going to be something that is a little more welcoming and engaging.
And it's one of the first of its kind that I've heard from personally. So I feel like it's kind of also building a framework for similar groups to take off in other places. So say, for example, you're not based in metropolitan Melbourne and mm-hmm. it may be not a group that's not necessarily accessible to you. By providing this framework to other organisations, other groups, hopefully that's something that they can build within their own communities as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that we have kept in mind during this whole process, is to be able to make the start and then be able to see how that goes on and, you know, see the ripple effect through the communities. And something that we're really proud of is to be able to have volunteers as the peer facilitators and to provide that training, because we know that people will take those skills into their other projects and other things that they'll go on to create. Yeah, Amelia's nodding like, yes.
Well, I think peer support, informal peer support, yeah. exists everywhere. So
yeah, exactly.
People with training to learn some, like, tools to make that a sustainable and non-harmful thing is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if people want to hear about Scope, how can they get in touch? What are some ways they can find out if they can attend a session?
Yeah, so you can always email or call us. Our email address is peer.ed@thornharbour.org. And our, I think we share the same phone number, yeah. So you can ring Thorn Harbour and you can ask to speak to myself or Adam, who is also on the peer education team. So you can get in contact that way. Otherwise, you can go to the website and go through the registration link that we have on the peer workshop page.
On the Thorn Harbour Health website?
Yes, yeah. So at thornharbour.org. And it's quite an easy registration process. It's just a matter of you saying that you're interested, putting your details in, you don't need a referral or anything. But yeah, and then we'll be in contact.
And then is there the option of hearing about what days are happening when and what availability you may have, or do you have to attend?
If there's a cost involved.
Yeah, so there's no cost involved. The workshops are completely free and they're open to all ages as well, above 18. And in terms of when we announce workshops, if you are registered, then we will send you the details directly as the workshops happen. We've been running the Scope one-day workshop about every couple of months. It's been something that we've been developing over the last year. So there's one coming up in November. We've just finished one in September. And the six-week workshops, which are a weekly workshop that run on Saturdays, and they are about to start in a couple of weeks for the first time. So, yeah, that'll be exciting. And that runs throughout next year as well. So
amazing.
It sounds nice to have, like, some community-focused events that often, I think, you know, with the LGBTIQA plus community, a lot of our socialising is involved around partying.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, as a person with a lot of sensory, processing problems, that can be really difficult. And it also means that usually people have to talk to go to the smoking area, which is also not ideal. So it sounds like a really wonderful opportunity for women and non-binary folk to be able to come together and start discussing and having those chats that we usually would have to have in, like, the quiet area of a club, which is always a bit hard to make deep and meaningful when there's, like, you know, some very deep bass.
And just meeting other people.
Exactly,
like
exactly. And that's what it's all about.
Amazing.
But speaking of deep bass, I'm not sure if the song has it because you chose it, Jacinto, and I haven't listened to it before, but I'm excited for it. We'll be listening to For Your For Your Love by Montaigne. Their song has a language warning. Now, we'll be back with Jacinta, Alex and Anthony to talk a bit more. And Jacinta has been speaking about SCOPE, which is a relationships workshop for LGBTIQA plus women with Thorn Harbour Health. Stay tuned. This is For Your Love by Montaigne. And again, language warning.
I have been a snake. I have been a dog. I have crawled on the floor.
You're listening to Triple Bypass, home of Joy's bisexual agenda. That was For Your Love by Montaigne. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we've been joined this evening by Anthony, Alex and Jacinta from Thorn Harbour Health. Our guests have been chatting with us about BiPlus targeted services that are delivered through Thorn Harbour Health and that they work within, and talking about how essential specific services are for multi-gender attracted people. We've also received a text in over the break from B, who says, "Hi all, are non-binary or gender non-conforming people able to attend the male peer groups if there is space that might feel more comfortable? I'm just curious, as most non-binary and gender non-conforming people are more often invited into the female groups." Do either or all of you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, gender non-conforming and non-binary people are welcome at all of the peer education workshops at Thorn Harbour, and I'm sure all services at Thorn Harbour Health. In terms of why they're invited to the women's workshops, we talk about this a lot. I'm not sure why, but it just seems to be tagged on, well, not tagged on to the women's groups, but it's not as included or as explicit with the men's groups. But if you feel more comfortable in being in a men's space, then you're more than welcome to be in the men's groups. And if you're comfortable in being in a women's space instead, then you're welcome to be in the women's groups. So,
and where can people find out information about the men's groups at Thorn Harbour Health run?
You can have a look at the peer workshops tab on the Thorn Harbour Health website. Mm-hmm. And all of the information is there about how often they run and what the different types of workshops there are, because we do have a number of different men's workshops.
So we were talking before the song about the differences between therapeutic groups and also peer support groups. But what I was curious on hearing from you all about is what is missing for BiPlus people in mainstream and other queer services and organisations. So we've heard why this group is, these groups have come to be, but what is missing in overall care for multigender attracted people?
Getting bisexual people on board to actually design programs that are targeted towards our community would be my big thing.
Yeah.
If there are going to be services that are appropriate for us, then we need to have a say in how they're run and how they're delivered.
Oh,
absolutely.
Totally.
Succinct, to the point, nothing about us without us. It's really that simple.
Leading from lived experience.
Yeah. And that matters. I mean, I think that having programs that are described as queer groups or gay groups or gay and lesbian groups, I think, you know, we can find something for us there also, but I think it does matter. You speak to anyone who's multigender attracted, who, and for us, our experience with assessing people for the Bi and Mighty group, it matters that it's bi-inclusive, it's bi-centred, it's bi-bi people, it's all bi-content. That stuff really matters.
Bi-bis.
Bi-the-bis.
And that it's run by people who are BiPlus and that have that lived experience that they can draw from when either running a therapeutic service or a peer support group.
Absolutely.
And can definitely attest, because there are, when we went to the first, a focus group with a scope to start looking at these scope ideas, you know, yep, for a relationship, like a relationships workshop for LGBTIQA plus women and non-binary folk. You know, I remember raising, is this going to be friendly for BiPlus people? And
totally,
almost like over half the group were like, actually, I'd like to know that too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. That's right. There's so many of us. And so from that part of it, this is definitely a safe space and a safe group in that sense, which is really, really wonderful. And also, they're definitely working on accessibility towards people who are neurodiverse and people who may be using mobile devices for movement. So and I think you can find out more information as well by emailing peer.ed@thornharbour.org.
Yes.
Yes.
Good job, Ruby. Good
and
job.
To hear about the therapeutic group, which is the Bi and Mighty group with Anthony and Alex, you can email counselling.
Yeah, that's right. Counselling. Yeah, you got it.
You've got such a good voice for radio, Alex. We have almost wrapped up for another episode of Triple BiPlus, and we'll be back again next Tuesday. Did you have another question, Amelia?
I did. I just wanted to, if we had any people who work in either mainstream or queer community health orgs who are listening, who will work with BiPlus folks but not necessarily have BiPlus targeted services, I wonder if there was any just easy tricks or, like, you know, key messages that you would pass on to them to be BiPlus affirming in the work that they do?
Yeah, and that's a good question for people who work in queer orgs and mainstream, because the BiPlus Australia website, which is designed by Julia Taylor, who has some e-modules on there that practitioners in the health and wellbeing services can access information and to do a, I think it's an assessed module where you get to
you get
something.
You have to watch the videos and you get a quiz after.
Yeah, so you have to use some brain energy. You have to think and concentrate and learn something and prove that you've learned it. So
yeah.
So and that's important, I think, especially because some counsellors and psychologists are sometimes the first people that bi or any queer people come out to. So to have a bi inclusive lens is actually crucial.
And it also puts the onus of educating yourself about people who are multigender attracted back on the practitioner instead of putting it on the client, the person that they're working with. Oh, I've not worked with many bi plus people. That's so random. Can you tell me about your life? You know, that's a
common... I will pay you $180 an hour to educate you on my sexuality.
Exactly.
Please help.
Exactly right. So I'd love to thank our amazing guests this evening, all three from Thorn Harbour Health. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jacinta.
Thank you.
For joining us and sharing your amazing projects with us this evening. So if you have missed any Triple Bypass episodes, you can find every episode as a podcast at joy.org.au/triplebypass on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I jump in?
Of course, yeah.
Sorry, I'm very eager. I've been away for 3 weeks and I just can't get enough of this microphone. So I'm here to have a bit of a chat very quickly around what's happening with Joy. So Joy 94.9 has been broadcasting for almost 26 years and it's one of only three 24-hour LGBTIQA+ radio stations in the world. So as well as 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio programs, which cover so many topics, we also produce hundreds of podcasts a month, including ours. But after 26 years, obviously the media landscape has been changing and things are a bit rough for Rainbow Media now. We've had both in Australia and internationally. And so to ensure our survival, we need your help to bring Joy up to date. And that's why we're looking to become Joy Nation, a multimedia community platform. So if you've enjoyed our show, if it's been helpful for you in any way in your journey, if it's made you laugh, introduced you to new music, new ideas, new ways to celebrate yourself and your sexuality, then check out joy.org.au and there's a link there to help us build Joy Nation. We are trying to raise money so that we can try and move away from the cycle of dependency and make sure that Joy can keep making media for the community, by the community. Did you see what I did there?
I saw it and I liked it, Ruby.
Thank you.
So support us to stay on the air, support Triple Bypass the show. If you can follow us on our social media, Triple Bypass Joy, Triple Bypass on Facebook and Triple Bypass on Twitter. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Soul Provider. Tonight our friend Ian is filling in for Matt with songs that take him back to his roots. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Taking us out, the fantastic Brendan Urie, a.k.a. Panic at the Disco, because he's the only one of the original band left, but it's still that same name. Anyway, here's Girls, Girls, Boys.
Where I
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.